Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you're looking for a way to laugh despite your candidate losing the presidential election, British comedian Josie Long is here to help. Her new one-woman show, Something Better, is billed as being about optimism and hope despite this summer's Brexit vote, a vote she strongly opposed and one that could be seen to presage the election of Donald Trump as president here. Something Better runs through this weekend at the Barrow Street Theater in the Village. Josie Long, hi. Welcome to WNYC.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me. Hi.
You're a comedian. Can you make the Brexit funny?
I'm trying so hard. It's a really interesting show because it's kind of about political grief, I think, and about trying to deal with all the stages of grieving when politically you keep losing and when things keep kind of not going the way that you hope and you've been trying to make.
It's interesting that you say grief, because there was such a widespread grief reaction that still grips a lot of people who, it's not just that they were for Hillary Clinton, it's that, you know, there's this sense of grief for a certain idea of America that they feel is threatened by Donald Trump. Do you think there was a parallel reaction among people in Britain who were shocked by the Brexit vote?
Oh, completely, completely. It's so funny speaking to my friends that I know in New York, and just I can pinpoint exactly where they are in relation to where me and all my friends were, because it's people just having very similar conversations every day with everyone. And, you know, when you ask everyone, oh, how are you? It's always like, I'm still here. You know, there's this level of kind of deep angst to everything. And I feel like people are still in the, I've been saying on stage that people are still in the stage where you wake up and the sun's coming through the window and you're like, oh, the sun's, and then you're like, oh no, this is reality. And I think it's exactly what you said about people, losing an idea of what they imagined the country was. Like, that's definitely something I identify with Brexit. I just couldn't believe that there was that depth of support for the Brexit campaign.
In the Guardian review of the version of the show you did in London, they say you joke that the Brexit vote teaches, quote, some Tories what it's like to be left-wing, correct, but on the losing side, subject to the opinion of the obviously wrong-headed.
Yep.
Have you been able
to? I mean, it is within a joke, but yeah.
Yes. And have you been able to find sympathy for those obviously wrong-headed folks?
Do you know, it was really interesting, actually, because the other day I was doing my show in Manhattan, and when I talk about Brexit, I do it sort of from quite a personal perspective, and I don't expect the crowd to kind of care massively about the intricacies of British political decisions and stuff like that. But I mentioned about Brexit, and a British man in the second row was just like, I voted Brexit, like, so proudly. And it was really weird because it was quite confronting, but at the same time, we were able to have quite a bit of like fun back and forth. And by the end of the show, I did feel a little bit like, oh, wow, I think I personally have moved on somewhat in my grief now, because I think earlier on performing the show, I would have just been angry at that person.
Yeah.
And I was trying so hard to be more, I don't know, less pig-headed and more open-minded about it.
So with that audience member piping up, I voted for Brexit, we heard you talking previously about preaching to the choir, that artists right now are often only talking to people who agree with them, that you as a comedian were doing shows for audiences who overwhelmingly were already not voting for Brexit. Have you been rethinking that now?
Well, it's really tricky because on one hand, what I do think a real thing that political comedy shows can do is I think that they can give people a bit of strength and a bit of hope to continue. And so on one hand, I do think there's some real value to performing to people who, especially when, you know, when you've just been losing a lot, I think it's really good to perform to people who might share your views, because those people are feeling alienated and alone and despairing. Yes. And to be able to perform and say, like, hey, you're not alone, and don't, you know, try to keep going and try to take heart and stuff. But at the same time, like, the show itself is quite, I mean, it's personal, and it definitely is about my feelings of anguish at myself for obviously having been part of the wrong side in terms of not being persuasive enough and not having the right strategy. And so it's sort of about trying to find new strategies of how I might engage people, but still being this package and knowing what I am and what I have on offer.
Yeah. So is there a way to use your shows to reach more people? And is there a lesson there for other people who are mainly talking to people they agree with, maybe in this country?
Well, I suppose the key is, and what I've been trying to do, is get out to places that you don't normally get out to. You know, I had this thing where I looked at my tour map and I looked at the map of people that voted to remain, and they really did cohere very, very well. And so it's a case of kind of diversifying where you are going to play and not expecting people to agree with you. And I suppose the thing with Brexit is that I now no longer expect the crowd to share my political beliefs, which I think I used to when I was first doing shows about politics. I'd come out and just be like, we all agree on this, that, the other. Whereas now I'm like, please, why don't you agree with me?
Right. Know, so. Or would those pro-Brexit audiences even come out to see your show because we're so polarized in the kinds of entertainment we choose?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I think it's, yeah, definitely. And one of the things that there's a thing that me and my friends do, which is kind of a political thing, but I would say it's like small p political, like, is we put on gigs in public spaces almost apropos of nothing. Like, we sort of show up in a day and we fly around the town and we just put them on in a kind of circus atmosphere. But the reason we do it is to get to crowds that would be excluded from the kind of bougie art center spaces that I might otherwise get to perform, and yeah, and to give something free, and to do it in the spirit of, you know, not confrontation, but kind of building something. And I think it is a case that, you know, possibly what people need to do is really come up with quite radical new ideas of how they might reach different audiences, and also be prepared, I suppose, for debate. But I tell you what was really interesting. The guy who came to my show, who was like, I voted Brexit, and he was very sweet, and we like had fun back and forth about it. But at the end of the show, he came up to me and he said, oh, I'm really regretting it now. I didn't think there would be any of these consequences. Wow. I don't think we'll even do it. And I was just, you know, I had to really hold my tongue, because I was like, well, I think we will. And, you know, what? And it was so funny, because he said, we might have a second referendum, when he was heckling me. And I was like, what are you doing? You won. Like, why do you want best out of three? Like, you won.
Yeah. A few months after January 20th, we'll do a buyer's remorse call in.
Oh, gosh.
And we'll see. It's too early to do that in this country yet. My guest is British comedian Josie Long, whose show Something Better is playing at the Barrow Street Theatre in the Village through this weekend. It's billed as being about optimism and hope despite the summer's Brexit vote. Any Brits listening or anybody else with a reaction to any of what Josie Long is saying? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You know, there's a reaction to the Trump election in this country, and really it was going on even during the Trump campaign, which is that it's not even appropriate to do humor about Trump because it makes him seem less threatening than he actually is, and that one of the reasons that he was able to rise was because too much of the media didn't take him seriously at the beginning because his background is as a reality TV star. And they were like, ho, 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 Donald Trump said this, Donald Trump said that. Oh, Donald Trump is so Donald Trump, ha, ha, ha. And that let him get a foothold, or contributed to letting him get a foothold. Do you think about that with respect to Brexit or this country?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Like Nigel Farage, who, you know, I really think of as quite a dangerous person politically, and I definitely feel that his views are not a joke I take him very seriously, and I'm, you know, I'm quite frightened by his party, to be honest. But he's been treated always like this fun guy you'd love to have a drink in the pub with. And, you know, he's always had an incredibly large amount of publicity by playing up to being a character. And I definitely would say that I've identified with what you say about, like, is it right to joke about these things? Like, the thing that seems to keep hitting home is, well, all of the joking about these people did not stop them. And if these people are able to say things which have, to my mind, violent consequences, like, you know, for example, Nigel Farage, like, whipping up a lot of anti-immigrant sentiment, and then what happened is that, you know, Polish people are being attacked in the streets in England, and I feel like the two things are linked to each other. And so it's really hard because you're like, oh, I really tried very hard to take the mickey out of these people, but it didn't stop them. Yeah. And it's, I think it's definitely, it's such an interesting time, and it's such a difficult time, because all of the people who I would have looked up to as proper adults to tell me what is going to happen have been consistently proven wrong. So it's weird, you know, and I think a lot of people have looked to comedians for things that historically were not comedians' jobs, you know, have looked to comedians to kind of give a lot of quite serious political commentary.
Certainly in this
analysis.
Country with, you know, Jon Stewart and Colbert and Samantha Bee and John Oliver, people like that. Do you have a parallel to that in the UK?
I wish we did. I wish more than anything that we did. No, we had a series called 10 O'Clock Live that was pretty good, but it didn't last very long. And we have a long-running panel show called Have I Got News For You, but it's not the same by any means. No, we've not got anything that's as authored that's a comedy show, and I would love to see something like that. It would be wonderful.
Maybe it'll be you.
I mean, I'm happy to do it.
Michael in Manhattan, a Brit living in the US. Hi, Michael, you're on WNYC with Josie Long.
Hello, Brian. Hello, Josie. I'm definitely going to try and come and see your show before it ends at Barrow Street. But getting back to what you were saying, both of you, That Was the Week That Was is a program, now I'm dating myself, many, many years ago.
That was a million television. Years ago. That was in the 1960s.
Yes, well, I'm an old man. But Millicent Martin, David Kernan, David Frost, oh, it brings back so many memories. And Beyond the Fringe, I wish we could have satirical programs on British television like you have here, such as Trevor Noah and et cetera, that are very, very good on hosting wonderful satire. And, of course, Michael Parkinson, years ago on a talk show, chat show, was very, very good on British television. However, having said that, I think at the end of the day, one has to be able to laugh at oneself and be able to have all this brevity and not take everything so terribly seriously on both sides of the pond, but more so here. Brexit and Mr. Trump. Well, there's an interesting correlation. I personally think that as I said to your screener, both sides of the pond jumped into this conclusion of Brexit and Donald Trump far too quickly without thinking the consequences. I'd like your comments on that.
Josie?
I would agree. I think a lot of people in the UK voted for Brexit because the campaign was very, very smart, and it exploited people, and it offered them this seemingly, like, you know, great deal in lots of ways, and it sort of offered them something that they didn't properly research, they didn't care about. I mean, there's that joke of that, like, after the day after the EU referendum, there were just loads of people Googling what is the European Union, who had obviously voted to leave it, you know.
But to take the movement seriously, there must be something bigger going on when it happens in the US and the UK, Colombians rejecting the peace accord with the FARC. You know, we see other movements in other countries. There's a large-scale rejection of the establishment going on, not just necessarily in the West, but all around the world.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, it frightens me a little bit because I just wish it was my team that was helping change the establishment.
Right.
But also, I think what's happening is that populist candidates are able to kind of hoover up a very broad spectrum of dissent. They're able to kind of get people who genuinely live in places that have been deprived, where life has got harder for 30 years, but they're also able to hoover up people who are perfectly secure and probably a bit bored and want to shake things up. And then they're able to con people who don't pay much attention but like the idea of someone who seems to be saying something relevant, you know. And I feel like it's happening in a lot of places. I feel like something's going on.
Look
and
at
I wish
India I, with Modi.
Which
is such a different place, but with a kind of similar outcome there. By the way, Michael, you may not know this, but that was the week that was ran briefly in the United States, and it was seen as the precursor to the 1960s show Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, which also did topical news-based comedy, and that was kind of a precursor to some of what Saturday Night Live launched with in the 70s. And so a lot of the history of politically satirical television actually traces back to that was the week that was in this country, too.
I agree. TW3, or that was the week that was, and SNL, or Saturday Night Live, they're cousins, really. And I think that was the week that was should be brought back on television. God knows, every week goes by in both continents and both countries where there's so much satire to be drawn.
Yes.
Bill Maher, as well, is somebody I really admire, and it's a shame I don't have cable that I can't watch him. It's a shame he's a little too extreme for terrestrial television.
Michael, thank you very much. Josie, before you go, you developed the show originally before the U.S. election. How different is the American version that you're performing here this weekend?
Oh, it's definitely... I've adapted it a bit, quite a bit, I think, because the parallels are so strong, because I think it is a show, like quite often when I write shows about politics, they're about my personal perspective on events, and they tend to be sort of linked to kind of emotional things as well. And so I think because of the parallels with the way that people I know feel, and because of like this sense of, oh, I don't know my country anymore, and I'm scared of the people around me, and I can't, and because the show itself is about trying a little bit to relate better to people that disagree with you and stuff, so it's kind of, I feel as if it's definitely relevant to what's happening at the moment.
Josie Long is performing Something Better through Saturday, that's December 3rd, at the Barrow Street Theater, 27 Barrow Street in the West Village. Thank you so much. Really nice to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.